rain on you yet?
Or? Yeah, why don't you look at this and make sure I did it right.
Yep, it's recording.
Oh,
good morning.
Good morning.
I was looking for you at the airport the past 2 weeks.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm.
All right, we're filling up the last row now. That's good. Now we can say we have a full house. All right, well.
This is Michael.
Leah,
and Angela.
Hi there. Nice to meet you. My name is Luke, and I'll be doing the talking this morning. So you could be the first ones, the last ones to walk in, or the first ones to leave if you don't like it. So okay. So let's open up in a word of prayer, and then we'll get started. Dear Lord, we come before you this morning to hear your word. And I pray that we have open ears and that we humble our hearts and come to you in fear and that we listen to your word and let it work in our hearts because it's the thing that can change us and bring us joy that you want us to have. Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
All right. The longer I stall, the more people that keep coming in. All right. So let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Timothy 2:4. All right. So who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? So I want to focus on that first part of that verse. Who will have all men to be saved? And God, he's a very gracious and loving God. And each and every person that has been born on this earth, he wishes for them to be saved. And I just want to go through the Bible and show some verses of how throughout time he has always worked with man in a very gentle and caring and kind way to try and assure that as much as possible they would be with him in the end. And I know this is a verse we use in our dispensation about how he wants all men to be saved. And we understand this verse to be his will today and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. But he has also wanted all men to be saved throughout the beginning of time. Let's turn to Psalms 86, verse 15. We're going to be doing a good amount of flipping pages. Because I'm just going to give the verses and let the verses do the teaching. So,
yeah.
Psalms 86:15. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. And so this verse tells us some characteristics of God that he contains. And these characteristics guide how he deals with men. And when he interacts with men, he lets these characteristics guide with his behavior towards them and his actions and thoughts. And this verse really shows me that we have a great God that has these characteristics here. We're gonna go through the Bible and we're gonna look at his compassion, his graciousness, his long suffering, and his mercy and truth. Okay, and these have been present throughout the beginning of man that he's dealt with. So, let's look at Titus 1:2. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. He knew that when he created man, he wanted to make a way for them to be with him eternally. And because he is gracious and long-suffering and compassionate, he was going to make sure that there was a way that his creation would be with him forever. And so in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promise. This was a promise that when he created man, that he would make a way for them to be with him forever. Okay? He promised before he even created us, before he, you know, he had a discussion, it was in his will, it was in his heart, that he was going to be gracious towards man, and no matter what we did to screw it up, he was still going to make a way for us to be with him forever. And that's because of his graciousness and that long suffering and that mercy that he has. Okay?
Amen.
Let's go to Romans 1:20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God has made himself known to all men, and God wants all men to be with him. It says from the creation of the world, from the very beginning, from the very first person that he made, from Adam, he's made a way for them to know him. And it's clear. He loves men so much that he has put so much out there for men to come to him so that they would be without excuse in the end, to say that no one will be able to say that God was not gracious or long-suffering or merciful towards them. They will be without excuse because God has made it clear since the beginning of this promise that he has given mankind of eternal life. And you talk to people and they might tell you that they don't think there's a God, but that's not true. Every man knows. And, you know, I've talked to people before where they start out in the conversation that I don't believe in God, but you get to talking to them more and it's just that they have a problem with God, they ran away from him, they make up excuses. But He's made it known. Let's go to John 1:9. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. God, every man that has come into the world, He has lighted them. He has made his presence known to them. And every man knows that he does exist. And this is because he wants men to be with him. And it's man's fault if they aren't with him in the end, because he has done everything within his power to make it clear. Okay. So we have this kind of base of, you know, what God wants for man. He wants all men to be saved, and this promise he made of eternal life, and he's made himself known, and he's lighted every man. And this should make us understand this next verse here in Ezekiel. Ezekiel 18. This is maybe a harder book to find. Ezekiel 18, verse 23. In my Bible, it's page 858. That's what we do at my house. If it's a hard chapter, hard book to find, we'll just say the page number. So, Ezekiel 18, verse 23. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? Let's go down to verse 32. For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. What does the world say when someone wicked dies? They say, good riddance, right? What does the Lord say? He does not have any pleasure in the death of the wicked. It doesn't make him happy to see them go and to part from him. He wants every man to be with him in the end. Let's read that again, verse 23. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he return from his ways and live? Verse 32. For I have not one ounce, no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore turn yourselves and live ye. You know, this should really soften our hearts to the world around us. You know, you see all the wickedness, and you read the news, and you go throughout your day, and especially working at the hospital, all of that is funneled into one place, and I see it in a mass amount. But verses like this should really soften your heart, because God's heart is soft, and we should have that same heart towards man. Let's go to Luke. Yes.
To me also, it's something that gives you hope for those you know that so far have turned away from him. He's just waiting for them to turn back.
Yeah. And we should be waiting as well.
Right.
And working. Yep. Yep. Let's go to Luke 15, verse 10. Contrary-wise, Luke 15, verse 10. So that was kind of a depressing verse, but this verse. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Over one sinner, there's joy. God, this is what God wants. He wants men to be with him. And this is what it's all about. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy. This is what God makes him happy. This is what brings him pleasure. And this is what we should strive for in our own lives. Remember when Paul says that we are his crown of joy, the believers, those who have trusted Christ. In the presence of the angels of God. And the angels are watching, and they know what's going on spiritually. And they're happy over one sinner that repenteth. All right. So as you can see, throughout the Bible, you know, God has always been kind and gentle and wanting the unsaved to come to him. So I think of a real good illustration of this is with Noah. And God has a lot to say about his long suffering before the flood and wanting to Noah to preach to get souls saved. Let's go to Genesis 6:5 and let's read about that a little bit more. So Genesis 6:5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. That word wicked, that was that same word that he, when the wicked die, he doesn't take pleasure. Okay? So, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart it was only evil continually. And so how did God respond to this wickedness? Let's go to 2 Peter 2:5. I think this is where I want to go. Let's actually first go to 1 Peter 3:20. It's right a couple pages before. 1 Peter 3:20. All right, so 1 Peter 3:20. Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. What was God wait? What was happening when God was waiting? Let's go to that verse in 2 Peter 2:5. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness. That's what was happening while God was waiting. Noah was preaching righteousness. God was waiting to see more souls saved, because he did not want those wicked souls to perish. He gave them every last chance to come to him. And so he gave the duty to Noah to prepare the ark and to be a preacher of righteousness. And it was about 100 years from when God first told Noah to build that ark to when the floods came. That's a really long time. You know, we get all excited about when someone turns 100 and that they've lived a really long time. Well, imagine if every single moment of that person's life they were preaching to the world that the flood was coming. That's a long time. And you know what? In that 100 years, how many people listened? 8. But you know what? Those were 8 souls. And each soul is important. That word soul, you can just see how the scriptures show the importance of those 8 people. And because the angels rejoice over one sinner that repenteth, each and every one is important to God. And he waited about 100 years for 8 people. That should just show the long-suffering of God towards the wicked, because he does not have any pleasure in their death. And so, after the flood came, let's go to Genesis 9:11. And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God, we can look at that rainbow in the sky, and God does not want to do that again. And you can see how God, he said, oh, I had to do it once, but I'm not going to do it again. And that should, you know, show us his graciousness towards man. Okay, let's go to Ezekiel 33:11. So that was Noah. Now we're going to look at God's dealing with Israel. Okay? God was also very gracious and long-suffering towards Israel. So Ezekiel 33:11. This is page 876. Okay. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? And God loved his people. And you could just see him pleading with Israel, why will ye die? Let's go to Nehemiah chapter 9. Now, where is Nehemiah? Zechariah, Zephaniah, somewhere. I'm going to need help with that. If anyone has the page number, feel free to yell that.
Nehemiah 5:41.
Nehemiah chapter 9.
Oh, okay. Nehemiah 9. Well, it's on page 554 in my Bible. I think mine is 2 pages off.
Yeah. All right, Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 13. So this is a chapter that talks about the history of God with Israel and how they kept rejecting him and he kept being merciful, and they kept rejecting him and he kept being merciful over and over and over again. And we just read in that last verse, he was pleading with them, turn ye from your evil ways. Why will ye die, O house of Israel? In chapter 9, we'll start in, I guess we'll start in 15, since there's a good amount of verses. So it started out with how Moses gave them the law, and he delivered them from Egypt, and just kind of going through the history of Israel. In verse 15, and gave us them bread from heaven for their hunger, and brought us forth water from them out of the rock for their thirst, and promised them that they should go in to possess the land which thou hadst sworn to give them. But they and our fathers dealt proudly, and hardened their necks, and hearkened not to thy commandments, and refused to obey. Neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsook them not. Yea, when they had made them a molten calf, and said, this is thy God that brought thee up out of Egypt, and had wrought great provocations. Yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsookest them not in the wilderness. And it just keeps going on and on about his mercy. And we can go down to verse 26. Nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against thee, and cast thy law behind their backs, and slew thy prophets which testified against them, to turn them to flee thee, and they wrought great provocations. Therefore thou deliverest them into the hand of their enemies, who vexed them, and in the time of their trouble, when they cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven, and according to thy manifold mercies, thou gavest them saviors, who saved them out of the hand of their enemies. And it just keeps going on and on. This whole chapter is just Israel being bad and God being merciful. And for years and years and years, we see the long suffering and the graciousness and the kindness of God towards Israel. Okay, let's go to Psalms 78:36. Psalm 78:36. I know we're going through a lot of verses here, but there's just so many good verses, and it's just they all speak, you know, what you need to know, and just the words are great. Verse 36: Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity, and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away, and did not stir up all his wrath. You know, people, at least what I've seen, is people are so short with each other. It's a split second, and, you know, they could just, you know, tell you off and be like, you know, whatever. And God says, time and time, many a time, turn his anger away. God is so long-suffering and so patient with Israel. And this is an example of how he is towards man and his dealings with them. And this is how we should be too, that same heart that God has with the people around us, time and time again. And let's go to verse 39. So this is kind of a funny verse. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. He's like, you guys are nothing like who am I to even fret or care about you laughing, like disobeying me? You know, I'm going to show you that I'm a gracious God, and you can do whatever you want to me, but you're not going to change, you know, the good quality, you know, who I am, and I'm not going to let that affect me. And you know, that's how he views us, and he's very gentle with us. And okay, so
can I say something? Mm-hmm. Keep interrupting you, but to me, the equivalent of that for us is sometimes we see a person who's not a believer and how he's behaving, and it offends us, and then we remember, well, he doesn't even have God in his life.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'll have some verses to show that in a little, if we get there. We're only halfway done. Oh, man. All right. Let's go to John. So let's we've been in the Old Testament quite a bit. Let's go to John 11. Verse 31. So this is going to talk about, well, let me first ask you, do you know the shortest verse in the Bible? There you go. Well, we're going to, hopefully this verse will touch our hearts and really understand how God feels about his creation. John 11:31. So this is just a story here of Mary's brother. The Jews then, which were with her in the house with Mary, and comforted her when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Her brother had died. Verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping with came with her, he groaned in the spirit, and was troubled, and said, where have ye laid him? Then said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. And you can just see his compassion towards that man who died. And when it is normal for us when we weep for the dead, because we are made in his image. And when we groan and weep and mourn for the dead, that's how what the Lord does when the wicked perish. And he is, you know, and we have those emotions. And here we can see when he came to the earth, he displayed that. And it was written here for us to see those emotions. And he's the most kind and loving God. And he wept and he went there. And he loved him. I just thought that was a real clear example of just how he loves his creation. And so let's go to Luke chapter 9, verse 56. Luke chapter 9, verse 56. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Okay? And when Christ came to this earth, he came to a world that hated him and was... I have this cough. I don't, I'm trying to make it through. But for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And when we think of Christ, we should think of him as the Savior of the world. And when we present Christ to men, we should present him in this gracious and long-suffering fashion, in that he came to save men. John 3:16. Now, we all know how this verse starts. Now, I know this verse is in the Gospels, and but this verse still, when Christ died on the cross, he did die for the sins of all men since the beginning. And this promise that he gave to mankind, he fulfilled on the cross when he died and shed his blood for the sins of mankind. And he did that because he loved his creation. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." See that everlasting life? That verse in Titus, that eternal life that he promised, and that no matter what, he was going to make that available. And how he doesn't take pleasure in the death of the wicked. And that's why he came to this earth, to save men. And so if we go to Romans 5:8, we know this verse as well. This was one of the first verses that I memorized. Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And this should make each and every one of us feel so special, because he died for each and every one of us. And each and every person that we know, he died for. And when you view the people around you, you should view them with this verse in mind, that he died for them. And that will change the way that you treat them. It really will. And when you view them in Adam and in your flesh, and like how everybody else acts in the world, which is very easy to do, you don't act in that kind and gentle way that God does. But we need to have it in view, this verse here. "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Amen. And we should understand that Christ did die for each and every person around us. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. All right, so we're moving on. So there's something very interesting. So let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. I know we're jumping around quite a bit here. That's good. All right. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. So this timeline here, and our understanding of right division, the difference between what God has promised and what he has kept a secret. And God had made promises to the Jews about the coming tribulation. And when he was supposed to come back and fulfill Daniel's 70th week and come back with the great tribulation, but that hasn't happened. And the Jews were a bit confused. Why isn't this happening? And let's go to 2 Peter. We are 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. So this is Peter. "So the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And then let's go to verse 15. "An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you." So Paul is now the one who really tells us about God's long suffering. And he, in understanding how God put on hold prophecy and put on hold this great tribulation from happening, and he he, in the height of man's sin, he saved the chief of sinners and is having grace unto all men. And so Peter refers to Paul now about this long suffering. Okay, but I just want to go back to that 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. So I just really like the words that... It's so fun to read and to study and to see the words that God chooses. So that word perish, how we just read, where God is not willing that any should perish but come unto everlasting life. Okay, so he doesn't want men to perish, and that all should come to repentance. And how, and we read that verse where the angels rejoice over one sinner that repents. And for us, we know that we don't have to repent of our sins, but it's repentance when you get saved and you believe in Christ. You're turning from your own works to Him, and when you have faith in Him, that's you're turning to Him. And so, just it's interesting to see the words that God uses in the Bible, and it makes studying very and reading it very fun. So let's read the. I just like reading the verses. Let's read that verse again. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. Peter thought, you know, he's delaying, or things are delayed, like, why aren't these things happening yet? But is long-suffering to usward. And so that word long-suffering. So let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. So this is a very exciting verse. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. So we remember that word long-suffering, okay? So 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. So Paul, that word, all long-suffering, that long-suffering that Peter was talking about, that the Lord is now demonstrating in this age of grace. Yes. And Paul was the chief of sinners. He was there at the stoning of Stephen, and he was the worst of the worst, and Christ saved him, and here in the age of grace, and that we understand right division, we really should understand the majesty of his graciousness that he has showed to men throughout all time, and now it's on full display in this age of grace. Let's go to Roman. See, now I have, before I had the verses written out, like what they said, because that was when I was awake and was taking time to type them out. But now that towards the end of my study, I just put the references, and so I forgot like what the verse exactly said. So now I'm like, what is this next verse that I'm going to? So I'm learning. Okay, let's go to Isaiah 13. Isaiah 13. So page 724. Isaiah chapter 13. verse 6. Okay, so these verses are kind of... So now, God is, there is going to be a time when he is going to come back and wipe everyone out. That is going to happen. And he could do it right now. He could do it anytime. He views us as grass, he says. You know, a child can, a two-year-old can play in the yard and pluck out a blade of grass. You know, that's, and, but there's going to be a time, you know, when that's going to happen. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 6. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. And we read that verse, how he's going to come in destruction. We read that verse in Luke, how he said, I am not come to destroy, but to save. And those words, destruction and destroy. It's about saving today, but there is a day when destruction is going to be what's going to happen. Therefore shall, verse 7, therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrow shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain, as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. And just the words, how when Paul wrote, he came into the world to save sinners. This verse here, he's going to destroy the sinners. And he's long-suffering. And this is going to happen, but it's not yet. And I just want to read these verses to show that what he doesn't, he's holding this off. Verse 10, for the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. I will punish the world for their evil. Now look at this word here, and the wicked, that wicked for their iniquity. He's going to punish the wicked. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease. Remember Israel, we read how they were prideful, their necks were stiffened, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Okay, and it goes on and on here about this terrible time that is coming.
Can I make an observation?
Oh, yeah.
It's interesting, as you're laying this out, you know, the age that we live in was that mystery, and it is an age of grace. And today, so many people are wanting to point at the things going on in the world as the signs of this day that's coming.
Mm-hmm.
But because we understand right division, we know that today it's an age of grace.
Mm-hmm.
And that those things don't overlap.
Right, right.
There's so much confusion being brought into mm-hmm. the narrative.
Oh, yeah.
Because of it. But there's definitely one will end and the mm-hmm. other one will begin.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. And what men should be looking to in this day of grace is the wonderful things that is salvation in the cross and the word. And we should be showing that, we should counter that with, well, here's what God does want you to see. He wants you to see the cross. And that's exactly right.
Yeah, it's like he can't be offering grace and peace at the same time he's judging us.
Mm-hmm.
They're
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. And I guess we can go off that point. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:9. First Thessalonians 5:9. So, just as you were saying, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul talks about how this age is not the day of wrath, but it's to obtain salvation. And that kind of, I think, is... Okay, so where am I here? So I was talking about the Great Tribulation, and there's one more verse in Matthew 24:21 that I just thought it was interesting. Chapter 24, verse 21. So this is where the term the Great Tribulation comes from. Okay. And this is what the 12 were thinking was eventually going to come. Because this was preached by Christ and has been foretold of in the prophecy. Matthew 24, verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And that's coming, and that's some of the verses that we read there in Isaiah. Okay? And so now that we've read that, there's some practical application that we can take from this and in so our day-to-day living. So let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 17. Okay, Romans chapter 12, verse 17. So this is some preaching, some instructions from Paul for our life today that with all this in mind, it should really encourage us to help carry this out in our daily lives. So verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And those verses right there, within mind of how God has treated man, and this is how we should treat man, and with in mind of how there is that time coming, but how God has put that on hold for this age of grace, and to treat man, and to do that, we need to understand that Christ died for all, and that he loved them. And that will help us to really do this. And it's very easy in our flesh to not do this. Yeah. And that's how the rest of the world acts. But we don't have to respond in that way. We can respond in this way. And the reason that we do that, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. This isn't the verse. Let me look at my phone. I thought I wrote it down. So there's this verse that says that the goodness of God. The goodness of God leadeth. If anyone knows where that verse is, Titus something. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, Romans 2:4. Yeah, Romans 2:4. Okay, so Romans 2:4. Okay, Romans 2:4. So the reason for all this, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. And the way that God brings people to himself is by being kind and good to them, and by being long-suffering. And that's how we want to be in our lives, to bring God, to bring people to God. And we need to really try to keep the verses in our heart, and keep the words, and just read the words, just read the words, and just listen, and let the words change you, and that will really help us. There are some other interesting verses. Since I still have 5 minutes, I'll use them. I'm really struggling here because I just have references and I don't know what they say. But for some of the verses that I... okay, so Psalms 37, verse 1. Okay, so let's go to verse 8. So all throughout Scripture, you know, Psalms 37, verse 8, 616 is the page. So all through Scripture, we kind of see, as we've seen, kind of the same type of verses. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. And so that was kind of like what Paul was saying. I'll read it again in Romans 12. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. And here in Psalms 31, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Threat not thyself in any wise to do evil. And for evil doers shall be cut off. And there's a time coming when God is going to destroy all, but it's not that time. And the point is that we need to be how God is throughout time with man, and that is long-suffering and gracious, and telling them the gospel about what Christ did to them, and that he came to this earth to save and not to destroy. And when we view the people around us and that Christ died for them, it will change everything. Okay. Now there, I'll end with this verse here in Matthew 24. Okay, Matthew 24, verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And I just think it's interesting that God and Peter showed how he long-suffered before the flood, and now how he's long-suffering before this coming of the Son of Man. And I just thought that was an interesting verse, because before these two times that God is going to destroy the earth, he demonstrated long-suffering before. And we're living in one of them right now. Mm-hmm. And what was Noah? A preacher of righteousness? Mm-hmm. Well, let's go to 2 Timothy 4:2. This will be our last verse. Mm-hmm. I have 30 seconds. All right, 2 Timothy 4:2. What does it say? Everyone say it. Preach the word. It's in season, out of season. Report, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. All right. Let's close in a word of prayer. I think the words speak for themselves.
Amen.
All right. Dear Lord, very thankful that we can come today and read your words, because they teach us. And I pray that we understand in your scripture that you died for all men and that we view the people around us, that you died for them, and that you love them, and that we seek for them to be saved and to escape the your wrath that's coming. Amen.
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 Thank you.
I'll let you.